Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire, where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters, and the flood sweeps over me. I am weary with my crying out. My throat is parched. My eyes grow dim with waiting for my God. More in number than the hairs of my head are those who hate me without cause. Mighty are those who would destroy me, those who attack me with lies. What I did not steal must I now restore. I have become a stranger to my brothers, an alien to my mother's sons. For zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. Pour out your indignation upon them, and let your burning anger overtake them. But I am afflicted and in pain. Let your salvation, O God, set me on high. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Selected verses from Psalm 69, only a small portion of the actual text. And if you thought that was depressing, well, you should read the whole thing. It is one of several psalms that the church has always highlighted as the Passion Psalms, meaning applying rather directly and painfully so to the passion, the death, the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And it is a psalm which is quoted often in the New Testament with regard to that. More on that in just a moment. Some debate about who wrote it. Now, the highlight note says of David, but whether or not that note is inspired is exactly what the debate is, and the question of how does this apply to David's life. It certainly could be similar to the time when he was fleeing from Saul, when the whole nation had turned against him, when he felt basically alone and despised. Some out there, however, have noticed that it does ring a bell with the life of Jeremiah as well, who found himself thrown into the mire of a pit for the zeal that he had for the temple of God right before the destruction of Jerusalem and how everyone turned against him. And there are many words from his own text that are similar. Lamentations 3, 53 and following reads, "They flung me alive into the pit and cast stones on me. Water closed over my head. I said, I am lost. I called on your name, O Lord, from the depths of the pit. You heard my plea. Do not close your ear to the cry for my help. You came near when I called on you. You said, do not fear. You have taken up my cause, O Lord. You have redeemed my life." Ultimately, it doesn't matter whether it was David or whether it was Jeremiah. Both men lived as types of the suffering servant who is Jesus, who is what this is ultimately about. How, as the time of his departure drew near, his enemies hated him even more without cause. How he drove the buyers and sellers from the temple because of the zeal for his father's house. How he bore the reproach of those who scoffed at him, questioned him, and tested him. How his mother and his brothers thought he was mad. How his friend Judas Iscariot betrayed him. How the entire old covenant was brought to an end in Israel's rejection of her proper king. And there is still more. The mockery of Jesus by soldiers in the praetorium, the offering of vinegar mingled with gall, the sponge dipped in vinegar after they had crucified him. So when you come to this psalm in your reading, don't immediately assume that it's calling on you to be a negative Nancy all the time and feel bad and beat your breast and be all sad. Assume that Jesus has done this in your place. And when you do have those moments when you feel betrayed, when you feel turned against, when you think the world isn't listening, especially because of the Christianity that you believe in, well then, these words do apply to you. For you are one with your Lord Jesus Christ, and if they persecute you, you are blessed. For they persecuted the prophets who were before you, and it is yours to call out, "In Jesus, save me, O God." And the waters that have come up to your neck in this age, which threaten to destroy you, the floods and storms of this life, they've now become a baptism into Christ. The deep waters may come over you. Your eye may grow dim with waiting for the salvation of God, waiting for that great day of Jesus' return. You may feel that more in number than the hairs of your head are those who hate the Christian church, and it's true. But the zeal that Jesus has had for you has so also inspired your zeal for him. And the reproaches of those who reproach you are only the reproaches of those who hate him. If the world hates you, remember it hated him first. So you may pray, pour out your indignation, Lord, against the evil, against the wicked. Bring this forsaken age to an end. And you prayed in the Spirit, not willing that they would not turn and repent, but as even your Lord does, that the wicked would find truth and be saved. For it is certain that all of us are afflicted and in pain, but God's salvation has been set on high, even high and lifted up, in the cross of Jesus. So that whether it's David or Jeremiah or Christ himself dying on the cross, he says, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. That is the freedom of a Christian, too.